Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
The scriptures, Daniel chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, is a familiar story to the world because it's something even people that don't know the scriptures heard, they've heard about the handwriting on the wall. So let's read Daniel 5, verse 4 through 6. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened and his knees smote one against another. One of the few times in Scripture we see God actually stepping in to this world and doing something extraordinary. The hand, whether or not this was a hand of God or a hand of an angel, regardless, it was God at work. And he was doing something that no one had ever seen before other than Moses. He'd seen the hand of God writing a message and telling them something. And it was important what the message was, but the people there didn't have a clue about what was going on. So I want to skip down to Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 18 through 28. And we're going to look at what Daniel has to say about what this was, what was happening. As he goes up to this king, and Daniel, being a man of God that he was, and being used by God to be able to tell the people what God wanted from them. He says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and language trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was given from the sons of men, and his heart was, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. And then he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and the lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and they have praised the gods of silver and gold, of iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is a writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou hast weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medians and the Persians. That man right there, at that moment, his heart was judged and he died that very night. And the words that were written came true, and his kingdom was divided between the Medians and the Persians. And this is historically recorded. We notice something, and I want you to think about this morning with me. We notice that comparison. He's talking to Belshazzar and his wickedness of his heart, and he's reminding him about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. And he says to him, you know what happened to him. You were probably a small child, or if nothing else, you knew the stories. And somehow, with all that, it didn't mean nothing to you. You passed it right by and decided, I'm still going to do what I want to do. He said, there's going to come a time when each of us is judged, when we're put with our feet to the furnace. And it's how we lived and what we decided in this life that's going to make a difference. And so as God looks into your heart, does he see the kind of care that came out of Nebuchadnezzar, whose heart had been changed by the truth? Or does he see somebody that just doesn't really care for anything but themselves? We need to think about where our heart is. And there's a scripture that reminds us what's coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Let's read this together. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." I can't help but think when we read this, what would God write about me? What would God write about us on the wall right today? If the same thing happened to you, and it was the time that had been appointed to you, what would those words come up like? What would be there? And this isn't like asking the question, what's going to be written on your tombstone? Now, that's way different, because family and friends have one way of thinking about you, but God has a much higher standard of how he thinks about us. And even knowing everything that we have done and what we're going to do, regardless, Jesus still paid the price for it. And he still washed away our sins. But to the one that has given their life to Christ, believed in him, don't let that be the end of it. Don't let that be where it's like, oh, I'm free. The scriptures even tell us, God forbid that we would stop and let our salvation, let the truth of Christ be used as a free get out of jail card to go and to just live how we want to. God wants us to serve him. He wants us to live for him. He gave his life on the cross that we might do something with our life. Something. And I know there's all different levels of faith. God says, when I come back, will I see faith when I come back? So there are some that are only called out to just be prayer warriors. They can't find in them the strength to go further with Christ. And that's where they have. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. If you have feet, use them. If you have hands, use them. It was a wake-up call for me this last year. My voice was taken. With all this sickness, my wife, we couldn't even eat. We couldn't even make it to church. We were doubled over in pain for several months when we were back. It was devastating because it started wreaking havoc on my lungs, and I developed asthma from it, all other kinds of things. So I'm just now getting back to the point. God has opened up the voice again to go and speak. And so I don't take it for granted. God's given me lungs. I'm going to use them. I'm going to keep using them. And I'm going to share with the world the things that need to be shared while I still have breath, while I still have time. There are so many that do not hear the truth of Jesus, don't have anything of Jesus Christ in them. And there is opportunity for us to go when we have hands and we have feet and we have breath in our lungs. And that scripture reminds us there's going to come a time when there's a judgment. Even for the believer, we're covered in the blood of Christ, but our life, what we did, will have eternal consequences. How we served, God is going to look. There's the story of the man that goes before him, and it said when Jesus meets him, he's able to say to him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest." Well done. That's what I hope you're looking for. Not just a pretty good. That's the Texan way to do it. Yeah. Not too shabby. Well, you know, you got saved when you were a kid, so. Can you imagine having the Lord of Lords, the Creator, God of heaven and earth, and to stand before him one day? And you won't be standing, you'll be kneeling before the king. And to give an account, what did you do with what he gave? How did you use it? That idea is what motivated me to go to the mission field. It's what motivated me and my wife to get up and decide, we're going to get on these planes, we're going to go over to this place that does not speak English, and we're going to work with these people. We have no idea how to work with them. and we're going to share the truth of Jesus Christ, and people are going to hear it, and they are going to get saved. And that is what has happened. And we know it is going to continue to happen as long as we get up and go. Simply just because I stuck my hand up in service and said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That was it. And I wasn't a great orator. I'm still not great at it. And I wasn't perfect in my understanding of the scriptures. And I wasn't perfect in my understanding of theology and all the greatness of the Word of God. But God is able to use me and my wife. And He can use you too. If you would just surrender. If you just give your life to Him. And then those words that might be written for you might change. Like I said earlier, as God's looking into your heart, does He see a care for others? And if He does, is that care, does it begin with somebody's eternal soul and flow all the way through to their physical needs as well? All of it. Or does it stop with, I'll just pray for somebody. And then tomorrow you've forgotten them. It's a hard thing. It's why missionaries print up prayer cards with our names on it. Because even my wife and I were teachers before we surrendered into the work. And it's hard to remember names. I can't even remember phone numbers. Who remembers a phone number anymore? You have it plugged into your phone. We can't remember anything unless we do it like 5 or 10 times. So we print these prayer cards up so that you see our names, so that you remember us, so that you think about it, and you think about someone else. As you would go out of the service today, I don't want you to be empty of the word and empty of, well, that was just some fun times. I saw some kids with some weird-looking clothes. I don't know much. We want it to be something that matters when you hear this word of God, when you hear about the truth of what He's doing, what He's going to do, what He's doing in your life right now, if you'll let Him. I think about these flags. I love this. But right now, as I'm standing back here, I'm looking in our country's flag. I don't know if anybody has figured out which one ours is. It's stashed at the very back. It's the very back corner. It's hidden. It's up on the wall. And that's about how it is with Congo. When you walk in, every time you've been, I don't know if there's anybody in here, this is the first time you've stepped in this church. But if it is, when you stepped in, you passed the Congo by, the flag, without thinking about it, and saw all the others. My eyes were drawn to the British flag because I recognized that when I came in. Or is it Australia? I give up. I saw one flag yesterday. We were at a church. It looked like Star Trek symbol. I don't know where that country is. But that's our flag back there. And it just reminds me because it's on my heart. It represents the people. Even though it represents politics and corruption and all kinds of horrific things. It had a dictator in the 1960s that destroyed the country. And they're still coming out of it. Millions. I'm going to say it again. Millions of people died in the Great Congo War that probably none of y'all have even heard about. And we're still dealing with refugees that come down from the cities of Goma. That's one of the few cities in Congo that actually makes it onto the news because it's where the journalists go and it's where people get to see the background of the active live volcano. And so people can go off from trips there way up into the mountains and see the silverback gorillas. And that's where the missionaries get kidnapped and killed up there. And so we stay well away from that. God has not called me to go into a dangerous place without feeling His protection on me first. I'm not some foolish adventurer that's just stepped out and said, "The Congo, wow, this is cool. I'm going to go be a missionary in the Congo because that sounds neat." No. I just knew it was a place that had a lot of people that didn't know about Jesus Christ. And that was enough. That was enough. That's what God put on my heart. And I pray that He would put it on your heart too, that you'd pray for us. Or that someday someone might say, "Here I am, send me. I'll go. I'll help. They need it." So God looking into your heart, does He see that care? We have to have a heart that's motivated by the scripture. No compromise, no laziness, no quitting. And where does that heart come from? Where does it come from? It comes from salvation. real and life-changing salvation. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's my many. We say this. It's something that we hear in the Baptist churches. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not enough. Can you say, I'm saved? Are you a Christian? You know, half this world says that. 8 billion people on this planet. We work in the city of Lubumbashi. It has over 2 million people. Do you honestly think I'm going to witness to 2 million people in my lifetime? I don't know what God has, but I'd hope that I'd get some help out here, out there. I skipped and said here, and that's the truth. It's here first. Your pastor is looking for someone to help him. I don't know a pastor out here that's not looking for someone to help in the ministry, to share the truth. I'm sure you're probably short-staffed in Awanas. We were at the Grand Prix the other day and got to see that, and it brought back some great memories because my wife and I were a part of Awanas at our home church before we stepped out into mission field and seeing all the kids and the excitement that they have. And to start them off at a young age, to think about the scripture, to think about the Bible, to think about what God has for them, and to see someone caring about them and wanting to have some fun with them. Sometimes that's all it takes with us in Congo, to just go out and to be willing to be with some people and to share some things with them. So that relationship with Christ, what does it do? Does it encourage you to help others to get the word? Does it encourage you to help other believers with their physical needs and the things that they need of food or clothing? Would it be strong enough to keep you from bowing down to false gods and false idols of this life? Would it help you to see sin if it is right in front of you? Because that's a big problem right now. We drove in, and I was shocked to see that church that has those colors out in front of it and has that wrapping around the statue that's out in front or whatever it was, representing things that you and I know this is scripture calls sin. Are we going to be willing to go and share that truth with others? Because we have an actual relationship with Jesus Christ, one that is motivating our heart to do something that the rest of the world sees as crazy. What's motivating you this morning? Our level of spiritual blindness is directly related to the level of our heart's desire for Christ. I got another way of saying that is that a heart that doesn't care much for the things of Christ sees nothing spiritually. You're spiritually dead without focusing on Christ and caring for him. And when I say about caring about him, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about his people. I'm talking about having relationships with everyone around you. You know, that problem of heart and what it drives us to do. That's what's going on in the church this morning. It's our heart's desire to follow God that's the difference in here. God is working on each of us with his spirit. It's the same spirit that's always been there. The same spirit that was in Peter. The same spirit that was in Paul. The same spirit on all of us. So what's different is your heart. And this morning, it's the difference. You have believers and some that will walk here and be encouraged by this word. And another one that says, I have a relationship with Christ and I'm a believer. And they walk off just being ticked off. What's the difference? What's happening is inside is your heart and your decisions that you have for Christ, whether or not you're going to let the Word of God motivate you to follow him. Jeremiah 17:9. Let's look at the scripture this morning. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're known and seen by God fully. My wife and I, we have certainly witnessed our fair share of tragedies and terror and horrors and things that I wouldn't want anyone to see or experience or go through. Now, we haven't been within gunshot range, but we're close enough to hear the bullets and to see the devastation and to know people that have been killed and died and riots and all kinds of different things. We've seen death. We see it all the time in Congo. It doesn't persuade me to stop. The only thing that persuades me right now is Jesus Christ telling me through the Word of God that I need to go. Go and tell. None of it weakens my heart. Perhaps your heart might be softened today by hearing the word of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, let's read this scripture together. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of your hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If your heart's in the right place this morning with God, and it's encouraging you and it's stirring you up to do something, and it's motivating you, because when you read the word of God, you understand this is not just man's writings, but it's the spirit of living God at work in the word. For me, for you personally. Is it working in you? Open your heart to him and see if Christ doesn't match that love that you have for him and pass it and go beyond what you could ever imagine. We're going to finish with a set of scriptures in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 32 today. So let's look at this together. And it says, the story here is Jesus, having died on the cross for us and risen again on the third day. As we're about to think and focus on in this coming up Easter season. And here he is on the road to Emmaus. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Let me stop for a second, because this is Jesus Christ speaking to the people, saying to them, oh, fool. I don't ever want to hear that, do you? I do not ever want to hear my Lord and Savior have to say the words, you are a fool. That is horrifying. That's disgusting. I don't know anyone that would say, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, fool. Oh, foolish. And what is it they're foolish about? He says, slow of heart. So let that stick with you today as we get into this and finish. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, speaking about himself, and to enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and it made as though they would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. First towards evening, and the day is far spent, and he went into tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened us the scriptures? We sometimes ask, what on earth is going to motivate us to do something? What is going to push us outside our comfort zone to do something crazy like leave the American lifestyle and go somewhere that for the first month we were there, me and my wife, we're going to the bathroom in a hole in the ground. A hole, nothing. We didn't know that's what God would have for us, but we were writing out that blank check and saying, here, God, do with us what you want to do and spend us how you want us to be spent. And since then, we've been blessed. We now have toilet, thank God. We're thankful for that. And we do have modern amenities to take care of us so that we don't get as sick as we do from time to time. But we're always in the hands of God and trusting in him to get us through. So as we read this scripture now, see, did not our heart burn within us? I am thinking about that relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm asking myself, as well as God, I hope, is asking you, is your heart burning within you for him? Really? Or are you just, I show up for church. I have fun. It's something for the kids. I want them to have a good life. I want them to stay out of trouble. That's why I'm here, but the rest of this stuff, it really just doesn't matter to me. I hope that's not where you are this morning. And I hope that these words, if you are, will stick with you to think about where your heart is and if it is burning for Christ. When he was with them, they knew something was there. They didn't quite get it and understand it. They could feel it. They could understand, God has something for me. I just can't figure out exactly what it is. And God might be working on you this morning to surrender in a way that you never thought was possible. Whether it's for working in your church here, doing something you don't think that you can do, God can help you through it. Or to surrender to something amazing beyond the Congo. As we think about this morning, let's take some time. As we come together, we pray. We have a moment here where we pray, and afterwards we have the music come up and we'll have a time altar call. And as God's working on your heart, just answer it. Answer it, whatever it is. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we think on your word. We know it's what can motivate us. We know it's what can change our heart. We've seen it change the life of so many in churches in this country. God, we're asking you to bring others alongside us and other missionaries to go, to step out of comfort and go to a place where there is such a need, even as the need is here too. We pray that God would call us. Please, Lord, if there's any now that hear these words and are encouraged by the word of God to come, that they might come and make a change in their life to surrender to service. God, work on us now as we have this invitation. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.